Hello, this is Evan Murray, and this is Music Industry Insights. Please email me at evan@musicindustryins.net and write me, ask me questions. Let's talk about the music industry. If there's any particular podcast that you enjoyed or you wanted to get a hold of that person, please do let me know. If you want to talk about touring, developing, marketing, streaming, whatever, let me know. I'm always interested. I'm always up for a conversation. This podcast you're listening to now is with a independent band from the country of Scotland, a punk, pop punk band. I guess that would be reminiscent of bands like Sum 41 or like Green Day or like, I don't even know a lot of punk, pop punk bands. I mean, if you really think about it, the Ramones were kind of pop punk as well, even though they were like, you know, New York punk or East Coast punk or whatever. But what does pop mean exactly? Like, it's like poppity pop pop. Like, what does that mean? Dance? No, it means popular. So it's like, this is like a form of popular music incorporated into the fast and aggressive style of punk. But it's not like hardcore punk or like thrash punk or things like this. Pop punk is a bit more refined, I guess you could put it that way. And if you're a musician and you're listening to this, or you're, you know, a music critic, or you're someone in the music industry, maybe, you know, you've shut this off by now because you're like, why is this guy even talking about this? So let's get to the details. This podcast is about development, and this is with a band who is currently developing. Doesn't that sound exciting? So it's literally like in the midst of, you know, what they're doing in the industry. And of course, not during the pandemic, but post-pandemic, and let's see what's coming out of the pandemic. I also talked to them about, you know, their own country of Scotland, which is interesting because, you know, Scotland is part of the UK, but it has a completely kind of separate identity. And we just had a big round conversation about the places they want to see, you know, what they like about the music industry, like what their favorite parts are, what the best part about being a band is, and what they're looking forward to do in the future. So there is quite a bit of insight here. And I mean, this band is like going for it, you know, like they've got their materials, they've got management, they got support, you know, I mean, they've played massive festivals in the USA already. They played like the New Year celebration in Boston, Massachusetts. They've been to numerous conferences around the world. They've done touring around Europe. These guys are not like by any means like starting out. I mean, they're years into this and they're quite well developed. So it's a very good conversation to listen to if you kind of find yourself in that place of startup or, you know, in the midst of developing your career. It's good to have this kind of insight from another band, you know, doing similar things that you're trying to do or doing things that you have yet to do. So as always, take what you can from it, extract what you need, and enjoy it.
So today I got with me two guys from the Scottish pop punk band called Single by Sunday. Hey guys, introduce yourselves, please.
Do you go first?
Yeah, I'm Josh, and I'm the lead singer for Single by Sunday.
And I'm Johnny, I'm the lead guitarist, and I attempt to sing with Josh.
Okay. Well, I mean, it, you know, the attempt is probably 90% of the outcome, right? all right. So what is, let's just cut right to the chase. Like for you guys, like being a, you know, an up and coming band coming out of Western Europe, what does success mean to you? Like, let's talk about success. What is that for you guys?
I mean, success for us, especially from where we come from, we're from a town called, or city called Glasgow. And the music scene here is, or was really good. Over the years, it's kind of died down, and bands, in the past have been pretty successful. Like bands like Oasis and such, they got found a place in Glasgow, a venue in Glasgow. And they were big, massive bands that made it. But now it's quite difficult for small bands to stand out. And success to us is having to be able to travel the world. Like, we've been to America, toured Europe, and we hope to come over to, obviously, Asia.
Yeah, I mean, I think success, like, to me anyways, is, you know, I think being able to make a living in this day and age through the music industry, because it's, like, it's so tough and it's constantly changing, and there's, it's, like, there's so many artists now, you know, going back like 30, 40 years, it was a completely different time, and there wasn't as many people wanting to be musicians, whereas now you've got your SoundCloud and everyone's got a home studio. So there's like, it's such a harder market. But I think success is like, yeah, making a decent living.
For me, it's escaping the UK.
Okay. So escaping the UK, that's an interesting one. Definitely.
When it comes to McDonald's in another country, that's success.
You know, I did this thing like when I was younger, I was touring too. And I did this thing where I had this girlfriend at the time and she was obsessed with McDonald's. And I think part of the reason why she left me is because every country, new country I was going to, I always tried the Big Mac, or I always ate the McDonald's. Every country I was going into.
That's literally me. Like, funny. Every single stop we go to, where's McDonald's? I was like,
terrible. It's terrible.
Because I'm always like, they're going to taste different in every country. And then they don't, but I'm so happy I got McDonald's.
Yeah, it can be a little bit different. I mean, India was kind of strange because they had they didn't have a Big Mac. They had like the Royal Mahindra, I think it was called. So it's just like, because they don't.
Turkey, they have a McTurkle.
A McTurkle and Turkey.
There's a few variations, anyways. I mean, for certain countries, they will definitely have variations.
We went to, when we toured to Germany, we went to McDonald's. They had like nachos, like it was McDonald's nachos, and I was like,
in East Asia, they actually serve fried chicken at McDonald's. So yeah, you can. It's like, yeah, you can get your fried chicken at McDonald's. But anyway, past the food thing.
Yeah, McDonald's.
So growing up, like you guys have grown up in the, you know, in the west of Europe. So I know that you're, you know, really induced by the Western culture, like the American culture and the British culture and such, music culture at the least. But talk to me about some of your, like, you know, what were your influences internationally, but also regionally? Was there any regional influences that you can draw from? I mean, Scotland is as far as I know, I mean, I have some Scottish heritage, though I've never actually been to Scotland. But I know that Scotland is a very culturally rich place with a long history. Tell me about your influences growing up. Was there, like, you know, you can talk about internationally, but was there any regional Scottish influence on you?
We both can. Like, growing up, like, I listened to, like, internationally, it would have been bands like Blink-182, Green Day, and, like, All Time Low, and different bands, like local bands, like in Scotland, it would have been bands like The Proclaimers and I say local, but from the UK, like Queen, like big bands like that, I guess. Like, I didn't have, like, music for me came at a later stage, like in my teens. Like, I was like, I wasn't really into the whole listening to music like, as much then. And it was when I was in high school, I just chose music as a subject and started to branch out into joining bands and such. But definitely, I would say Blink-182 for me was my main influence, but you would probably different.
Yeah, mine's are like, I mean, there's people that I think were only really like exclusively big in the UK. Like, there was like a guy called Little Chris years ago, Lily Allen, you know, Amy Winehouse, obviously she's like huge.
Who else? The band you listened to?
975.
Yeah. What was the other band you listened to? Over the Mall, Take Me.
Oh, The Smiths. Yeah, like loads of 80s bands, you know.
Sex Pistols and stuff.
T-Rex, yeah, Sex Pistols, Bowie, you know, loads of like old 80s acts. I say old, but sorry. but like lots of 80s acts, that's like where I pull a lot of the influence from, especially in like our sound, whether it's like using synths and whatnot. I just like to try and incorporate something, because a lot of people do compliment our sound and say that it sounds like nostalgic, which is like cool to us, you know. I mean, as long as people like the music, that's all that matters to us. But it's good to have that compliment of sounding from way back in the day.
Johnny has grown up with, obviously, Kendall, Johnny's stepdad, is the manager of Single by Sunday. And he was in a band that was really big in India.
He was part of Stereo Nation, which were a two-piece group, two-piece banger group. And He was in that band, and he was also in the Specials, which were the Reform Specials in 96.
You've taken a lot of influence from that as well.
Yeah, no, of course. Because I've always grown up like around the house listening to music and just being around it. My uncle played guitar and all that kind of stuff. So there's always been like music around, and it's the exact same with you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. What about like, you know, the motivation to become musicians? Like, I mean, obviously, like, you know, some people just can't do anything else, but I mean, like, what was the defining moment? Like, were you guys in school together, or how did you meet up? Like, what became, like, where did it become like, hey, instead of becoming a doctor or a lawyer or, you know, something, you know, in high education, like, where was it? We're like, hey, I really want to take this music career really seriously and try to do what I can with it. When did that happen?
I wanted to be a lawyer, and then when I failed math and realized that you had to have math to be a lawyer, I was like, no. I was like, that's never going to work for me.
Where's my guitar?
I was like, lawyers make great money. I was like, this would be great. And then I failed math, and I was like, okay, let's just take that off the list. It's never going to work. I got my first guitar when I was 13 and, you know, stuck with it through. Then there was bands at the time like Blackfield Brights. They were my favorite band, and you know, I seen them at a venue that we actually luckily got to play twice in Glasgow, and it was it's like a 1,000-cap venue, and we actually got to play it, like headlining it. And I think that was like such a peak moment. It was like really full circle, because it was like, that was one of my first shows ever, and getting to be on that stage was like totally full circle. But I mean, we went to school together, but Josh was like a couple of years.
Yeah, me and Johnny didn't really know each other as such in high school, but
Josh was too cool.
I was too cool for John. But for most bands and artists, I'd imagine it is that going to those live shows when you're in your teens and seeing that band on stage that you support and really like, and just saying to yourself, oh, I want to do that. That's so cool. Because in high school, I wanted to do like marine biology, and at one point I wanted to join the Merchant Navy. Like that, I was really into that, but then I'm colorblind, so wasn't allowed. Yeah, music was my fallback. And
the thing is, though, right? Times have totally changed, because like the music industry is constantly changing. And I feel like when we were in school, there was a lot more bands around, whereas now it's all like rap and trap artists, and there's not many like bands that are making it. And it is completely different, because like obviously in our hometown, there is no pop bands, like, or pop punk bands. It's all metal bands or indie bands. I mean, I was in metal bands when I was in school. You know, that was like the thing. You were just in a metal band.
That's it.
Like Josh literally has music on YouTube from like a band years ago that he was in. And it's just like the industry, like in our town, is just not what it should be. And what it used to be a lot better years ago, like when we were a lot younger. But as time's gone on, it's just gotten worse and worse. So we are that band that is really different in our city, you know?
That's probably what's motivated us to turn it into a career more than a hobby now.
Because we have seen success from it. You know, we've sold out loads of venues. We sold out that 1,000-cap venue in Glasgow, and we were a band for like 3 years, you know? So we have done really, really well. I think it is all coming down to success. I've always said, if we're showing up to a venue and there's like 5 people there, just call it a day. But we can still go out and we can still pull in loads of tickets. So it's worth it for us. You know, we're still getting to play to really good crowds and stuff. And that's what makes it worth it. So.
Well, and this kind of brings me to my next question too. Like, let's talk about like your three, and we can do this individually or collectively. It's up to you guys. But what are your three greatest experiences playing rock and roll? Like what's the three best things that you experienced, following this dream?
That's a good question, actually.
For me, it's being able to travel and see the world. Like that for me is such a big thing. Like it's something I've always wanted to do, and the band's allowed me to do that. Second thing would be like playing in front of like large audiences. Like again, like growing up and seeing other bands and looking at them and going, how have you managed to do this? And now being in a band that is doing that is probably, it's just amazing. It's a bit surreal. So
I think as well. Yeah. I mean, travel 100%. Totally agree. Again, like to see places is amazing, because obviously, like we get to do that, and that is a total blessing for us. On top of that, I would definitely say when we got verified on Instagram, mailing like a bunch of my favorite bands, and then like members of the bands coming back, that was so cool, because I was like, 13-year-old me would have like fangirled. Like Blackfield Brides guitarist like liked my comment and messaged me, and I'm just like, that was like such a big moment for me. I know it's like something so minor to someone else, but I'm like, for me, that was like such a big moment. But yeah, large crowds as well, because we did the show to like 54,000 people in Boston a couple years ago. That was like the biggest crowd we've ever played to, but that was such a like
so 54,000 people in Boston you played for. So I mean that's quite significant. Like that's an amazing gig. And I actually know about that. That was for New Year's or something, right?
Yeah, it was first night in Boston. Yeah.
Wow.
It was amazing, and it's one of those ones that like in the moment you kind of just go into your own world, and you just
like it's one of those things. I always come off stage and like I struggle to remember being on stage because it's like you're just so lost.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like I see footage and I'm like, oh yeah, we did that and stuff like that, but I have like little clips of being on stage like still in my memory, but I'm like I do not remember that full or whatever it was, hour and a half show. It's crazy. But it was honestly surreal just looking out and just seeing like a sea of people. I was just like, this is unreal.
Yeah, it was awesome,
you know. But that's the thing, it comes in swings, because we did that like tour or the show to 54,000 people, then we came back and had a UK tour and we're playing to like 300-400 people. And that's the thing, it's like there's so many highs and lows in the industry.
I think that's the third thing would probably be as well, like Johnny just said, highs and lows, is learning how the music industry works has actually been a really good experience, because it's not pictured the way everyone thinks it is, and it's actually nice to see the inside of it and how everything works and how much hard work bands actually have to put in to get to where they need to be. Sure. So
it is like, I mean, having the ride, and especially like, you know, going into territories. I had a pretty big conversation with Andy from Focus Wales. That was yesterday, actually. We did his interview and we kind of touched on the fact where he's talking a lot about the export initiatives for Wales and talking about going into countries and trying to scan the best, you know, conferences to go to for delegates. And I'm trying to start a new conversation with like people who run export offices in countries about, like, you know, yeah, okay, good. It's good to go to a showcase conference and to network. Of course it is. It's invaluable, you know, to build relationships. But why aren't like export companies and also bands, like, why aren't they thinking about pairing up with major companies? You know, like the industry has changed so much. I mean, it's like there's not like fame is such an ambiguous thing now, right? I mean, like the main market frame is kind of like disintegrated or it's fractured into like networking bubbles of fame. You know, I mean, like I did an interview with a band called Thakadam Bridge that you guys are aware of because we've been talking about India. But I mean, this is one of the most probably viewed artists on YouTube that you can find. I mean, you're talking about hundreds of millions of views over a catalog of videos. But like, I mean, a North American person wouldn't be aware of them, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, these guys are like really fanboying about bands like Pearl Jam and these westernized bands. And I'm like, and I literally said, like, you guys know that you guys have some videos that have like way more hits than like some of their hit songs, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, even the reality of what fame is now is so juxtaposed to what it used to be. You know, it's like, it's not even the same thing, you know? So, I mean, and so what, like, where are you guys headed? Like what, you know, like we're getting out of the pandemic now, the United States is open, festivals are running. By the end of August, I'm hearing that like Europe is going to be the same way. Of course, India's, you know, unfortunately, it is way behind because the pandemic is so bad there. The pandemic just hit Taiwan. We're so late to, you know, get it, but it's here now. What's the interest? Like, where are you guys headed? What's the interest? What's the countries you're thinking about? And what's the, after the pandemic, what does it look like? Like, what's your focus? I mean, are you staying in the same genre? Are you, you know, tell me about like what's coming, what you guys are planning.
I mean, as for countries, I mean, we're happy to play anywhere that's going to take us. You know, like we, like I couldn't care if I was playing in like Africa or America or the UK, like it's all the same. A show is a show. As long as there's people there that are enjoying our music and as long as we're having a good time, that's all that matters to me. Mm-hmm. As for music,
I was just going to say, as far as like plans go, like we have got our UK tour set up and that's good to go. Obviously, depending on how everything goes here like in the UK. Hopefully those will be full capacity shows.
Yeah.
So we've got that. Next year, hopefully America and
whatnot,
and Europe and stuff. Asia, hopefully. Like we'd love to just, like Johnny said, play all over. Exactly. And it's just down to the world opening back up again for us.
Yeah. As musically though, we've literally, me and Josh have been writing like so much music. Is that right?
Yeah.
So many new songs. And we're heading more in like a commercial genre. Like I would definitely say the new stuff we're doing is like pop.
Mm-hmm.
Where I don't know if you're like fond of like the 1989 album by Taylor Swift, but like I've been saying, like that album is like an album that like we're wanting to try and create. Like we're wanting to get that pop album, because like as long as we're still enjoying the music, that's all that matters, you know. As long as people are turning up and getting into it and jumping around and whatnot, and we're still going to put on a kick-ass show, that's all that matters. But like we're loving the new sound.
Yeah,
you know, it's like more funky. Is there's more of a groove to the music that we're doing now. It's not just like your basic like pop music with like kicks and snares. It's not like bland. It's like there's stuff to it.
Yeah, and I think it's almost as if like we're starting to find a sound that suits us. Not that our music hasn't, but I think our music is developing.
It is really weird because we've not really got any like templates. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like obviously, like with the stuff that we've been doing over the years, we've been listening to like Blink-182, Sum 41, Green Day, all that kind of stuff. With this new sound, we haven't got anything to go off of. Like we don't listen to like pop music that this sounds like. We're literally sitting in our bedrooms and going, that kind of sounds cool.
So don't take, it's our own take.
It's our own take on pop music. So it is our own sound. We're like doing it our own way. And it is kind of cool because it is, we love it and it is our own sound.
I think that's actually a super interesting point that I think we should touch on a bit, because I think when like popular music was at such a high standard, you know, like when there was like, you know, MTV and radio really mattered, like where, you know, like it was like if there was a hit song on one radio station, it was kind of across the board, where now we don't really see that as much. So like standards of like, you know, people that are like, I guess, inspiring artists aren't really there as much either, because it is kind of so, you know, it's fractured like it is everywhere. So I think that's quite interesting, because I mean, like, you know, being a musician myself, at the younger days, like we always had these stars to look at to kind of emulate, even though we weren't, you know, we want to be original, but I mean, the influence is so strong. And I think we're going to start to see less and less of that in the future. So that's really interesting about, you know, kind of forming your own identity, you know, mixed kind of with, you know, the things of the past. Yeah.
That's actually very true, because like I don't know if you're familiar with Top of the Pops. You know Top of the Pops?
Yeah.
And it's like Top of the Pops was one of these shows back in the day that like if you got on that the next day, you'd be like really well known. You'd be in the charts. You'd be
saying, you'd be the Top of the Pop
star. Exactly. There's nothing like that now. Like nothing can like make you overnight. There's no show. There's no whatever. It's so hard to make it these days because everyone is doing it.
Well, that's the definition. You know, like when we're talking about defining what making it is, I mean, this is a critical conversation about that, because you're right. Like the Top of the Pops, even if it did exist, it might not even have the same impact, you know, like
everyone's on their phones nowadays.
Well, right. I mean, there's people on YouTube that have their own YouTube channels or YouTube shows that more people watch than on a television station, you know? So, and I mean, because of that, they're actually probably making more money than a television show would, you know, too. So it's, I mean, we're just living in a completely, you know, like you couldn't even have, and the problem is like, not everyone is aware of this yet, right? Like not everyone is 100% on board with the fact that the industry is fractured and fame just will never mean what it used to, you know, like in order for you to be globally famous, you'd have to be famous in different parts of the world on your own accord, you know, completely. So, I mean, I don't want to sound too like, you know, dystopian about it, but because I mean, like, of course, the dream, the fanatic dream is to be world famous, but now it's just, that just means something entirely different. And I think it's so important that we have these conversations about that, because there still is fame to be had. You know, there still is major groups of people to entertain and to become fan bases and to do these on your own merits. Have you guys had any kind of ideas of how else you can kind of like, is music okay? So we have music, all right? So there's music, but what else? Like, what other kind of like, say, if you were talking to young kids right now, say, you know, this was a, we're having an interview right now, and this question is pointed at people who are coming up into the industry or people who might, you know, be in their first or second year in the industry, like, music is obviously the staple, right? Like music is the focus, but like, Have you guys been thinking about other strategies that you can create in order to gain more fan base? Like, is there any kind of, and I don't mean like you have to have a particular answer, but is your thinking going in those directions?
I think I've even said, I think bands need to just do something weird. Like you need to do something really weird and stand out. I was like, I don't think like playing it safe anymore is like going to help you. I don't think bands are getting looked at anymore. Just if you're like, just like 10 a penny, if you look like every other band, it doesn't work like that anymore. Cause it's like the years ago, it used to be how good your music was and how good you are as a musician. Whereas now it's all about how you look. It's about how much traction you have. It's about how many people are watching you. It's about your social media numbers. And it sucks. It absolutely sucks.
I don't know if you're familiar with the artist Youngblood.
Youngblood?
Yeah.
No,
I don't know.
No, you should look him up. Like, he's probably the perfect example of it. He's just been really out there with himself and his music. And
like, he wears like a skirt.
Yeah.
He's like a punk, basically. Yeah. But it's like, music isn't punk. It's like pop. It's really weird. And that's the thing. It's like, he's got like this fan base now that are all like punks. And it's a big, he is huge in the UK. And I think he's doing really well in America as well. But he did a gig on a boat, which is obviously what the Sex Pistols did back in the day. I did a gig on the boat on the River Thames in London and projected like his EP up onto Buckingham Palace. And again, it's things like that. That's what I'm saying. Like it made a statement, and it's like, that would have made newspaper headlines. That would have been like a thing. And it's doing something different and standing out. That's how you're going to get noticed these days.
Yeah. I think everything else, it is very hard to stand out now, like just by doing something on social media or whatever. You do have to just, well, I say that obviously Youngblood, that would have blown up through social media, like that whole stunt, but there's not much else you can do now. Like,
it's very tough.
It is very, very, very difficult. Very, yeah.
Well, I mean too, like it's almost strange. Like, you're talking about how he's selling a really punk rock image, but he's playing pop music. So it's more like, it's like, I don't even know if that matters. I don't know, but what it does, it's just so, I guess it's just so interesting for people to check out, and it's more about fashion and then pop music or something. Yeah, right. Yeah. So it's,
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah.
In a sense, he's kind of taking all the trends of 2020,
well, and popular trends, I guess. Yeah.
He's combined them all together, which is really smart. And he just plays on that. And it's very clever. And that is like Johnny was saying, like, what you need, that is what you need to do, like, in a sense. But it's whether you have that, like, charisma and different, I don't know, just willing to be different, I guess.
So let's talk about what the band's doing right now. Like, tell me, you know, what you're doing right now and tell me what's coming up, and then we'll wrap this up. And, but yeah, please do tell me what's going on right now. And what's coming next?
So we're literally in the week of filming our latest single, which is going to be coming out August, I think. Yep. It's called Give It To Me Now. So this is the beginning. basically the beginning of our new sound. So the last song we did, Hey Boy, was like the bridge between our old sound and the new sound. So that was like the middle point where we're kind of like going more commercial, but we weren't fully there. Whereas the new sound is coming in August, and it's kind of nerve wracking, I think, because it's like we've said, it's like a make or break. Like, people are either going to really love it or they're really going to.
Even the whole concept of the music video, which we won't say, but it's just different for us.
Completely different. And we love it though. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I think that's always so important, because I said, obviously, see, the day that this becomes boring or we're not enjoying it, I'm like, just give up. There's no point in doing it. But we're still really happy and we love the new sound. So we're excited, and we just hope that that comes across and that people receive the song as well as we love it, if that makes sense. Like, hope they love it as much as we do. Mm-hmm. But we're in the process of writing as much as we can, because we're trying to harness this sound. Because I've always got this fear that, like, you write a song in like 2015, but then when you write a song in 2017, everything's changed, like your influences, and you're not going to be able to write the same way that you did a couple years ago. So it's the exact same thing. I'm just like, I want to just harness that energy that we've got now writing these songs and just get as much out of it as we can before it's gone.
Well, you guys are on a campaign right now. Like, I'm seeing on social media, like, you guys are releasing singles right now. Is that correct? Or what's going on there?
Yeah. We're just releasing singles every two months, I think it is, on Spotify and like YouTube.
Every 3 months, actually.
3 months?
Yeah, for sure.
And we're like releasing them on Spotify and YouTube. And we're just kind of like drip feeding the new sound, and we may do an EP at some point next year or whatnot, but at the moment it's just singles.
I think that's great. I think, you know, and I think that's really like, if we're going to talk about methods of marketing and PR and stuff like that, I think it's a good idea to be releasing singles to accumulate to an EP or an album, then you can leave it there, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing about artists these days too, is that you have to stay creative. Like, you have to keep, you know, releasing product and just keep staying creative, because, you know, like we have to, the old system is dead and we have to accept that, you know? And it's not about, you know, taking 3 years to release this big album, because I mean, maybe someone's going to listen to 30 seconds of a 3 hour album, you know, like people just don't have the attention span anymore. So if you're just hitting them with singles, you know,
even Beyonce said that, like, she was saying that she's like, people should be listening to albums. And I'm the same. I listen to an artist and I'll listen to their album, cause I'm like, I want to hear that single times 10, but not everyone's the same. Like,
but you know, if you're dropping singles to build an album, right? And then you keep dropping, you know, like, so say like you drop like five singles and you're like, okay, we're going to do something, you know, moving a different direction. Yeah. That'll still be
a
that could be seen as an EP. It's just that it was released at a, you know, and I mean, it also gives you the opportunity then to have an EP that's full of hit songs too, right? Or an album full of hits. So, I mean, that's the other interesting thing about it, because I think musicians have to be way more conscious now of what they're releasing. Like before, like artists would release concept albums. And I mean, like, let's be honest, like, I mean, probably, you know, close to 85 to 90% of the album was actually filler, you know, for like three singles or two singles. So I think, you know, the bar is definitely raised these days. And also we're talking about the commercial viability of, you know, the whole visuality, you know, the whole visual market now of being a musician too. So like, I noticed you guys, you know, each of you carry your own brand of hair color, right? Like, does that ever switch? Do you guys ever switch that, or does that stay?
I actually did want it to switch, but then I think Tendo had said, but people aren't going to remember you guys if you're constantly changing your hair colors.
And
I've done the hair color thing, but they've changed up. We're the only band, I'm pretty sure, in the world that's never actually changed our hair color. It's always been the same colors.
Okay. Well, I know. I mean, you know, I think that branding, I think it's a smart move for branding too, because it is definitely something like, when I think of the name Single by Sunday, is that the image of the four, you know, the four different colored heads is the first thing that comes to my mind, you know? So
actually, I just want to jump in there. I tell a lie. I did actually change my hair to blonde like a couple of weeks ago, but that was only because we didn't have anything on. So I was like, there was no gig. I was like, I'm going to just change it for a bit. But when we have stuff on, when we're working, it's always the red, blue, purple, and yellow.
You should keep like side wigs. Like, if you keep some side wigs, you know? Like,
Josh, like, do you imagine how embarrassing it would be being on like this on stage and then your wig comes off? I'm not going to, you're never coming back from that. Like,
There's a viral video. Your wigs, you're all wigs.
See, if then I never had to dye my head again, I'd wear a wig. I'd wait a wig. Maybe when I start losing my hair and whatever, I'll talk about it. And then when okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, as far as other things coming up as well, like I think like just touring, we really just want to get back out.
Rehearsals.
Getting back to actually being in the same room with these guys, like the whole band just being together.
The last time we were all together in a room like rehearsing, we did one rehearsal I think this year, but before that it was last August.
It's been strange because we usually spend like day in day out together because we're always with each other
in the road in tour bus or something.
So that's going to be new, I guess, again. And obviously we really want to play places like India, Japan, and we just want to get out there as well.
Like, it's weird though, because it's like, I think it's good that we're doing a new sound because it does actually feel like we're starting from scratch again. Because I think when the pandemic hit, we were like kind of, we weren't glad, but we're kind of like, okay, we can get some time off. This will be fun. Thinking this will be like a 2 week thing, 3 week thing, and then we'll get back out and gigging. And then it just got to a point where it was like, okay, we don't know when this is ever going to come back. So it's like, it feels like we're just starting from scratch again. And
yeah, a year and a half later.
You just kind of forget. It's just like, I don't even know what it's like to actually go and play a gig now. Do you know what I mean? That it's just so weird. Like, the crowd that we had back then are not going to be the crowd that we have now. And it's all changed. And that's why I think it is good that we're doing a new sound, because it's like, park what we've done over the last 5-6 years. Let's do something new. and see how it goes. Yeah. And we're really happy with it. So.
Well, I think you guys will definitely have an impressionable, I've been listening to your music for a little while now. I've been following the band for a while, and I think the band has great potential inside of Asia, especially, you know, in like, you know, like there's a lot of homogeneity in Asia. So like, you know, in South Korea, like it's just full of South Koreans, and in Japan, it's full of Japanese, and yeah. India's full of Indians. So, I mean, like, I think, and I mean, you guys are, you know, there's a exciting vibe about the band. There's something very universal about, like, you know, just listening to music that makes you happy and excited. And I think I don't think it'll be a hard sell, you know, for you guys to be going into like basically being kind of like a global touring band. Of course, I just think it's just, you know, trying to make your mark in certain countries, trying to line up with the right companies. And, I think the band has a lot of success waiting for it in the next couple of years.
I really hope so. That's the thing. It's like we've always said, like, we don't care if we never make it in the UK. See if we make it in like Turkey, or if we make it in Korea, or if we make it in Japan, and we sell really well there. That doesn't bother us. As long as we're turning up somewhere and there's going to be a lot of people enjoying the gig and we're having a good time, all that matters. We don't care where it is, you know? And that's the thing. That's why we are really excited to venture to new places like Asia, because we've never been before. And like, even when we got the Germany tour last year, like, that was so much fun, because it was like going over there and playing to like all these people, and it was just like, it was such a different experience. So I think that's what it's all about for us, you know?
Yeah. Well, no, absolutely. Well, I mean, thanks for your time, guys. I mean, it was nice to chat with you, and,
you know, it was good to meet you.
You know, lots of good ideas thrown around there and really interesting. So, we'll see you at Live at Heart. Like, I'll be getting a hold of you guys to get some live footage off you, and we'll be broadcasting this interview, and, you know, hope to see you guys in the future.
Yeah, absolutely, sure. Man. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Take care, guys.
See you later. Bye.
Okay.